I've been assigned to recount private sector perspective on changes in government policy to build Pakistan's industry. Mr. Humayun Akhtar has given us a very detailed analysis of Pakistan's economy, and I just like to compare and see if we are better off today than we were in 1947. So let me take you back to 1947. What was Pakistan's economic situation? Pakistan's share was only 34 of the 921 industries in the subcontinent. That's less than 4%. These industries were small and met very little simple needs. To name a few, we had Mitchell's doing food processing, we had Orient Match, a few rice mills, sugar mills, one biscuit factory, and a few others. Soon after independence, an industrial conference was convened to lay down the fundamentals of the industrial policy. The following directions emerged. First, emphasis was on industries based on indigenous raw materials, namely jute, cotton, hides, skins. The next one was the development of consumer goods, and mostly they were the import substitutions, and people like Lever Brothers and all came into existence. And also important one was the encouragement of private enterprises and individual initiative subject to certain conditions. And I think this is what Mr. Humayun Akhtar also mentioned, that once they reached a critical mass, then those initiatives were withdrawn. Now what made Pakistan develop from a very nascent economy to a much more robust economy? These were the development of the institutions. Pakistan Industrial Credit and Investment Corporation was created, which was PICIC. Industrial Development Bank of Pakistan, which was IDBP. Agricultural Development Bank of Pakistan, which was ADBP. Investment Promotion Bureau, National Investment Trust, Central Testing Laboratories, Pakistan Standards Institute, Patent Office, Tariff Commission, WACTA, and many more. So the role of government was encouragement of the private sector, ensuring favorable conditions for its operations, and stepping in only when private sector for some reason was hesitant. And this is the role that PIDC played. They would nurture a particular industry and then hand over or buy, somebody would buy it out and start with it. So the industrial policy was then converted into 5-year plans and implemented successfully. And we've all heard about those 5-year plans. So by 1967, Pakistan was ahead in economic development of all the regional countries and made a place in the international world community, and so also achieving what Mr. Moeed Yusuf called economic security. Where does Pakistan stand today? Mr. Humayun Akhtar has mentioned, Pakistan is deindustrializing, losing share in world exports. 22 or 23 IMF program since 1958. So what do we need to rebuild Pakistan's industry and achieve economic growth? There are some fundamental for economic growth. Number one, as mentioned I think earlier, political stability. We need a charter of economy or a consistent economic policy. It cannot change every few years. No investment will take place. Efficient administration with bureaucracy reduced to the minimum. And I think there's an opportunity now with the platform that is being developed, is Digital Pakistan, which can free flow of information can happen with very few people. So we should target that maybe in 10 years' time, the bureaucracy should become half of what it is today. Priority on public spending for infrastructure, that is very key. Secondly, judicial management of public finances, and I think this is what Humayun Akhtar was referred to. And also, support for private enterprises. And I think this is what the policy earlier had brought results, and this support has to be limited for a certain period before the critical mass is achieved. And finally, the lack of protection for inefficient industries and minimum subsidies of state enterprises. And this is taking a lot of our resources away, about 100,000 billion or whatever. So after studying different models like MITI, which was successful in Japan, the Indian model, China model, we came up with the following recommendations. The Pakistan Business Council has, for the last 2 years, followed this process, and the slogan is "Make in Pakistan." And what to make in Pakistan? That I think is the key question. And what we have identified are what are our natural resources, how to exploit them, what are the endowments we have. And the ones that have come to light, number one is agriculture, number two is livestock. We have agriculture because we have a very good agrarian system with a very large network of canals, network fertile areas, but we have not brought it to its potential. Initially we were importing wheat, PL480, we didn't have enough wheat in 1947, and then we came up with the Maxipak wheat, and by 65-67 we were self-sufficient. So agriculture is one. In livestock we have 28 million cows, we have 29 million buffaloes. US has only 9.3 million cows. Our cows produce 5 liters of milk. The Canadian or the Russian or the American cow produces 35 liters of milk. So if we were to crossbreed the two, our next generation of cows would be 20 liters. Renewable energy, we have sufficient hydro, we need to focus on that, wind, solar. Connectivity is another key, when we hear this a lot about where Pakistan is placed and how to connect it. But this needs infrastructure, it needs shipping, it needs air traffic, it needs trucking, it needs communications. And these are all areas that where businesses can be developed. So government policy is required to rebuild Pakistan's industry. The policies to encourage and develop industry for the entire value chain. If you're going for the value chain of agriculture, livestock, then we need, for agriculture, we need seed, we need fertilizer, we need agriculture inputs, agriculture machinery, irrigation technologies, processing, packaging, logistics, export, research. And what we are asking for is that all these things need to be done locally. This is what India has done. If you want to sell to India, you have to first put your factory in India, then only can you sell to India. So a similar policy, I think, is what is required with us as well. For the livestock sector, genetics plays a very important role. Biotechnology, machinery, packaging machinery, logistics, exports, and R&D, both for agriculture as well as for livestock. Then knowledge. Develop curriculums that cover the entire value chains, from seed to export, the whole value chain. For each strategic sector, we need not just technical education, higher education. So you're creating managers, you're creating scientists in those fields. In the connectivity side, logistics, infrastructure, telecom, shipping, IT platforms. So what we see the difference that telecom has made in the last 10-15 years. People's lives are so much more efficient. A plumber can be called from anywhere. He doesn't have to go knocking on people's door. The jobs can come to him. Now finally, what will happen if we modernize agriculture and livestock. With modern agriculture, you don't need so many people to work in the agriculture area. So the rural population will move to the urban side, and we are seeing that happen. Now, at the same time, it will mean that today we are a 210 million market, which is much larger than others. So this kind of power can attract investment. How many countries have this kind of population for consumption? Urbanization need and opportunities. Urbanizations need and opportunities for business and employment. So if you're urbanizing, we need constructions, housing, schools, road. These are all business opportunities. Education needs schools, universities, technical education. Health is hospitals, doctors, nurses, clinics. These are all business opportunities. In the retail and wholesale, shops, warehousing, again business opportunity. Logistics, people running vans, trucks, buses, food and hospitality, agricultural processing, restaurants, hotels, waiters, accountants, managers. In the services area, when you have a larger population in the city, repair, maintenance, communication, banking, IT platform. So when we modernize, it has to be in the information-based, IT-based, like we have in the other countries and people. And luckily, we have a good IT, the language of IT being English, we are well equipped for that. So the selling platforms need to be modernized to IT platforms. City management, governance, using digital platforms. In Lahore, we have a safe city program. And this is where we have cameras, and I know my driver got challan twice because he, not that he was over speeding, but he was not in the right lane. They take a picture, they send you the challan at home, so you have to pay. But the big elephant in the room is population. Who is looking after population? This is the number one problem of Pakistan. Can Pakistan's resources cope with this population growth? So we need immediate and effective program to minimize population. And I think as Mr. Mohid Yusuf has been saying, the world has moved from geopolitics to geoeconomics. There's been, if you read the report, there's an inspiration from Ibn Khaldun, and my inspiration is more towards Imam Ali, who says, your sickness is from you, but you do not know it. Your cure lies within you, but you do not know it. Thank you.